WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Today is going to be a very big day in Murfreesboro. Today, the Murfreesboro City Council convenes at 11:30 this morning. They're going to be looking over the fiscal year 2020 budget, the proposed budget, and then it will continue again tomorrow with another look at that. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning. Shane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us. And this has been a difficult year for you.
Yeah,
a challenging year.
Yeah, we've had a lot of different discussions really going on over the last 3 years. I think going back really to 2016, 17, we started seeing some trends that we really want to, in the past, have gotten over budgeting. You know, roughly we've got close to $50 million in our fund balance right now, give or take. And so we really wanted to get out of using that. Typically, we've been using around $4 to $5 million, or what we budget for is what we've used. We've gone into that a couple of times over the last 6 or 7 years, so we wanted to make a concerted effort to not do that, and that's really where we started this process about 3 years ago. So we've had lots of discussion, a lot of it brought on with building a school this year that we talked about. So we've got a lot of tough decisions to make. That's why I invited our former city manager, Roger Haley, to come in this morning. So that way, thought we'd get some – I know Roger's had some questions the last couple of weeks, and this way we get some good discussion going on.
Roger, good to have you with us today.
Bart, I appreciate the invitation to be here and look forward to the discussion. And this is a matter that will greatly concern every property owner, every citizen of Murfreesboro, whether they're a renter or an owner, as well as every business in the city. The ripple effect of tax increases, property tax increases, is not minimal. It's extensive. But I do appreciate the invitation and look forward to the discussion.
For people who are new to our area, you were city manager from 1989 to 2009, a 20-year period. Prior to that, you served on the city council for two different periods, 1978 to 82 and 85 to 89.
Bart, that's correct. There was a 3-year absence in that 31-year period, but with the exception of that 3 years, there's a 31-year time span that I had the honor and privilege of serving the citizens of Murfreesboro in an elected position, and humbled and honored to fill the position of city manager for that 20-year period.
And Mayor McFarland, I know that it has been your decision all along to try to get all parts of the community involved in this, to get their input. This is our city.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we've even, you know, been talking about things like solid waste. You know, that issue got kicked, the proverbial kick in the can down the road for many, many years. So we started the solid waste discussion about 5 years ago, and with the closing of Middle Point. So those are all discussions that, you know, I think the council feels comfortable about making sure that we want it to we want to be able to get community input. I think the problem is right now, you know, the budget is so complicated when you start looking at all the ins and outs on the budget, that just looking at what you read in the paper and what you see on social media is a tough way to be able to understand exactly all the intricacies that go into a municipal budget. And that's, you know, some of the things that we're working through.
I want to mention, this is going to be a difficult show to work in listeners' comments, but we're going to try to do that.
Yeah.
But try to keep them on target. Don't give us a whole lot of opinions. Just give us questions when you call in. And let's start by getting sort of a feel for what has made this a different year. Why did you decide to make some changes? Why did you think changes were needed?
Well, I mean, I wanted to ask Roger, too, as he's sitting here. The last tax increase that the city had was 1998. I think Roger was city manager and Mayor Reeves was the mayor back then. So we've really made it, you know, 20 years without a tax increase. Back then, I think the tax increase was 20%. It went the tax rate, I looked at it as we were studying this. The tax increase back then was roughly 20%. The population was $58,000, or 58,000 residents is how many residents we had back then. So the tax rate went up to $2 and some odd cents. Our tax rate right now is 0.94. I'm rounding numbers up. So I just wanted to ask the question, how did y'all handle it 20 years ago? You know, our population's 120% greater than it was. We're at 140,000, then 58,000, and the increase went up. You know, in today's dollars, it would have been about a 40% increase. I just wanted to ask how y'all handled that back then.
Shane, I don't know where you got that 20% figure, and you may be right on target.
Yeah, the tax rate, I've got it right here, Roger, because I wanted to. Yeah, you know, I want to make sure everything I give out that I'm giving the right numbers. Let's see. The tax rate in 1998, the tax rate was $1.90, and then it went to $2.26. So it's roughly a 20% increase on 59,000 residents.
Okay. Well, the way we did it then was to justify to the citizens that it was necessary. That's been 78. That's 21 years ago. 21 years ago, and you may have this information, I don't have it before me, but at that time, a one cent increase on the tax rate would have been significantly less than what it is today. I doubt that it was, and I'm guessing, more than $120,000 or $30,000 per 1 cent tax increase. Today, that one penny tax increase equals in round figures, $466,000. That's three times, I'm estimating, three times what that increase would have been years ago. And in 98, and prior to that, what we had been able to do and what I think can still be done today to a large extent is allow the growth of the city to continue to pay for a majority of our capital improvement projects, the growth of the annual budget. But it appears that the decision has been made to put a spin on the information and come to the conclusion, or at least put forth a conclusion, that growth does not pay, has not continued to pay for the anticipated future capital projects, which is the majority reason of why y'all are looking at such a tax increase. I think it's proposed, y'all are talking about $732 million in capital projects over the next 5 years, and you're trying to fund a budget based on that $732 million expenditure, possible expenditure, I assume, and I think it would be safe to say you and I both know y'all can't spend, you can't manage, you can't put forth that dollar volume of capital projects in a five-year period.
You got a good point. I mean, the actual number that we're looking on our CIP is roughly $400 million.
You've got reported is 732. Well, that's what your city manager.
No, that's over a long.
That's over a five-year period.
I think it's good to explain how the CIP program works. So and Roger knows this. We will vote on the CIP roughly every year.
That's right.
So the CIP to the layperson out there is our capital improvement plan. So that's how we budget over a five-year period on how we're going to, for example, build a school, or we anticipate road projects are going to be built. So I've got it. Yeah. So we may look at different items that we may put on our capital improvement plan, but they're only funded on a year-to-year basis unless we've got projects that we have what's called a tail on those. So say, for example, Cherry Lane, which, you know, we've got 20,000 cars on Thompson Lane every day. You know, Cherry Lane's gone back for, what, Roger, 10 years now, talking about extension of Cherry Lane, all the way back to when the soccer park was built, what, 14 years ago?
It's been 15, 16 years since that.
So we'll budget on those items, but we don't necessarily fund those, even though we may look at a $700 million capital improvement plan. We don't budget those until we actually determine when we're going to spend that money.
Well, my comment was based on your city manager's presentation to the council that in the next 5 years you had a $732 million CPI situation looking at you. I didn't hear the $400 million. I could be very wrong. Bart, the first thing I have learned since retirement, the older you get, you forget some things, and when you say things that aren't correct, you don't say them out of malice. You've said them because you can't remember.
But, yes, sir. The 20 through 24, we're looking at, if we were to approve everything, which we haven't, we've only funded $338 million. The total project would be $737 million is what the total is.
Okay. Well,
and that may take 10 years to do that.
I just handed you and Bart a list, and I was surprised you said you'd seen it. I don't know.
No, I mean, a lot of the things on here I've seen.
Oh, okay. Just out of curiosity, because I had not done it previously, I put together last night a list of the projects that, while I was city manager and on the council, we undertook. That was the building of Northville, Black Fox, Cason Lane, Irma Siegel, Scales, John Pittard Schools, with the additions to Mitchell Nielsen, Bellwood, Reeves Rogers, adding a new city administration building for city schools, adding a new city school maintenance and bus facility. Well, I've heard a lot of or at least some discussion from the council members that the three schools that y'all have had built in the last, or that have been built in the last 10 years, is causing great concern. Well, I'm just saying, we built six schools, and that was in a 20-year period,
sure,
which would be comparable to the 3 and 10 years that y'all have had to build, plus others.
Roger, do you know how much debt we still have left on any of these schools?
We should have zero.
No, we still owe on Pittard.
Okay.
But all the other ones. But I think a good example, when you left, we built Overall Creek about 4 years ago. Are you familiar how much that one cost?
I'm thinking somewhere in the $21, $22 million range.
Yeah, 21. So we're building the same school right now, 4 years later, and you know how much that one cost.
Well, and you just finished one on, or you're in the process of finishing one on Veterans Boulevard that...
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. We're building the exact same school that we
for
built.
For 37 million.
Not including land.
Well, and I know things have gone up. I can't imagine that they've gone up that significantly. I did have a discussion with Mr. Whitaker back last year.
Sure.
When the city took over the responsibility of building city schools, y'all took that away from the city school system and put it under Mr. Whitaker, and he was very excited about how much money was going to be saved on that construction project, and I can't imagine that in 3 years construction of a like school, again, as you say, less the land cost, has gone up over 50%. So I question Mr. Whitaker's ability to really do what he said he was going to do and bring it in. In fact, his comment was it'll cost less than what overall creek costs.
So. I don't know about individual conversations, but I do know, as you know, we operate off of like what one astronaut said to another when they're sitting in the space shuttle. How does it make you feel? We're sitting on something that's been built by the low bid.
Well,
our schools are we put contracts out. We have to take the low bid, and
I commend you for that. Yeah. I've been an advocate of the low bid process, and there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
You've got people in place, and there are inspectors in place, and at least when I was there, I felt like the quality of work that the city was getting in all of its capital projects, it was either acceptable, or if it wasn't acceptable, and there were some that weren't.
Yep.
An example would be the Civic Plaza project had to be rebuilt, but it was rebuilt at the expense of the architect and the contractor. It was not rebuilt at city expense.
Sure.
So we had the checks and balances in place to make sure that the public's money was getting for every dollar spent, a dollar's value in return.
And I think that's good, because I think that's sort of the way we are now. You know, just this year, seeing where we've had some issues on the construction, you know, because I would contend that the city is really one big construction company, because we're building roads, we're building schools, we're building all these different things, parks throughout the city. You know, we saw some opportunity, especially with some of the projects that we've had, that we brought in, you know, a construction manager who now that's what his full-time job is. This year alone, we've saved roughly $8 million on some of the projects that we've got going through. So, you know, it's I think you learn, like you said, you learn from some of your mistakes, because, I didn't see Fire Station 10's not on here. No, you built Fire Station 10 as well, didn't you?
We built
the one I don't.
We built McKnight. We built an addition to the Vine Street station. We built relocated Samsonite to Church Street. We built Pitts Lane, Thompson Lane. It was a decision of a hard decision that had to be reached, but I didn't have any problem reaching it.
Sure.
Because the economy was tanking at the time that station was nearing completion. And that area of the community had experienced a tremendous growth in both residential and commercial development. And because of the economy, I chose to recommend that we mothball it, not open it, until such time as the economy turned around.
Sure.
Having the responsibility of city manager over the years, worked for and served with four outstanding mayors, starting with Hollis Westbrooks in 78, and then Joe B. Jackson, Richard Reeves, and Tommy Bragg. All of these men were people of, except Joe B., he was born in Smithville, Tennessee, but the rest of them were native citizens. They knew the community, they knew the trends, they knew the people, and as well as the council members that I either worked with or served under, and they provided good guidance, and I tried to provide to some people's dismay, some hard stance positions in my position as city manager.
We're talking this morning about the city of Murfreesboro, some possible changes in philosophy on the way the city is being operated. We're going to continue that conversation in just a moment. We're visiting this morning with Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland and former city manager for two decades, Roger Haley. We'll be right back.
This is Chip Walters, and I'll have Middle Tennessee football and basketball games for you right here.
MTSU Sports on WGNS AM, FM, online.
Cajones, cowbells, sticks, it's all here. Music World and Drummer's Den. We're your hometown music store. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
We have now gotten a food truck. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. Our food truck has various items from the Demas's menu, from our Peter D's catering menu, from our new concept PDK, and we can combine it in any form or fashion. The food truck is available for rent, and it also can show up at any different events or outings. But it's set up here to be able to serve the people here anytime you want without having to go inside the restaurant. Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Lisa Halliburton with Bell Jewelers. Make it your own with fingerprint jewelry and personal signature engraving. Only at Bell Jewelers. Come visit us at 821 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Sunday is Father's Day, and the Father's Day gift is waiting for you at Bell Jewelers.
Good morning. There's been a couple of wrecks out here in the last 15, 20 minutes. Most have been minor. Traffic still moving, however, as we check it out live again here on 24 westbound and through the Hickory Hollow area, continuing towards Nashville. Still looks good right now. 840 over towards Williamson County. And watch your speed. They're already out here, and you're going to see a lot of it as you head towards Manchester there up through towards Monigo Mountain. If you're moving soon, call Smashville Moving Company, 584-4954. Check them out, smashvillemovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with mostly cloudy skies, a high around 80 degrees, south winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 59.
Bazing at First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives a new meaning to pushing the bar on customer service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing offers discounts on medicine and doctors.
I saved on my eye doctor's exam and the glasses, too.
Look how much I saved at the drugstore.
Hearing services as well.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. This is Freedom Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
We're talking this morning about the new proposed budget, the 2020 budget for the city of Murfreesboro, bringing some changes, increases in taxes. We haven't seen that in 20-something years now. The city council convenes at 11:30 this morning, and then they meet again tomorrow. What is the process? Does the public have any input in this?
We had public hearings on Thursday night, and then we will today go through and really where we get into the discussion on, you know, what's being proposed. We're going to talk about what changes that, you know, could be made, especially when we talk about the trash fee that we've, you know, we've talked about for going on 3 years now. So we're going to talk about that whole process. We really want to talk about, you know, where we are on the tax rate. And I'll give you some examples. And it really, I don't think Roger would disagree with this. It really is where we've gotten to where we are. You know, the tax rate in 2009, our tax rate was $1.40. So a house in 2009 is worth $166,000. So that's how much this house was worth in 2009. They were paying $585 in taxes. That's what the total amount that this $160,000 house has increased. At the last reappraisal in 2018, we have a law called the Equalization Act. So when appraisals go up, the tax rate goes down. So in 2018, that same $166,300 house was appraised at $230,500. So the house went up roughly 41% in value. The tax rate went down to 90.9494, and that person paid $547 in taxes. So they ended up paying roughly $38 less a year in taxes as the appraised value went up. So some of the things that we're dealing with, I'll give you another great example. In 2009, the Target building, many of us go out to the Target building, that building was worth roughly $6 million. They were paying $38,900 a year in taxes. That same building now is appraised at $9.9 million, and they're paying $34,000 in taxes. So I think one of the reasons, I mean, values are going to increase, but I think
No, I mean the number of people paying.
Yeah, the number of people. Well, yes and no. I mean, so you've got me. I have a family of five. Three of the people in my house aren't paying any taxes. So I think those are some of the things that when you look at that, it's in direct proportion to the demographics and the things we come in. Now, there's some things I think that the city could have done better over these last years. I don't think there's any doubt that the apartment growth has hurt us to some extent. Now, those apartments are paying a 40% tax rate as opposed to the residential tax rate, but at the same time...
Let me interject, yeah. Which means they're paying 60% more in property tax than I am in my residential house. I'm assessed at a rate of 25% of value. They are assessed at a rate of 40%. And mathematically, that means, and it equates to, they are paying 60% more in taxes. Most apartments being, and I know your recent comment about the number of apartments being built in this community. And to me, that's almost being... a little elitist, because a lot of people move into this community. Number one, they want to find out about the community, and it takes them months or a year or two to do so. The best place for them to find immediate housing is in an apartment. On the other hand, you've got a large number of people this day and age that don't want home ownership. They don't want the responsibility.
Yeah. So you think we should have more apartments?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. You're looking for ways to generate money, and it's a dollars. It's a dollars situation. You'll generate more money. Now, the complaint has been from the city that the number of students living in, moving into apartments, and by students, I'm talking about K, for the city's instance, K through 6. If you've got a 250-unit apartment complex, I would venture a guess that you don't have any more students, number-wise, in that 250 apartments than you would in 250 single-family units. Now, I could be in error, but it won't be far off.
Well, I think the difference that we're running into right now is... when you look at the density of where you're putting the apartments, you know, I don't think that, and I voted against, you know, the ones that we had out at the Henley Station, that we added out the Gateway, and some of the ones we had in Blackman. The problem for years when Mr. Adelot was the planning director, Mr. Adelot would tell us that there was very little impact to our school system with apartments.
Well, let's put it on the line now, Shane. Joe Adelot was not one of your favorite people by a long shot. You had your differences with Joseph, as did some others. But one thing about Joe Adelot, he was square shooter. He was straight. He knew what he was doing. And the circumstances at that time were different from the circumstances today.
And that's,
now, there's another important factor to remember. I don't remember the year, but the state of Tennessee did the urban boundaries, passed the Urban Boundaries Act, which eliminates the city's ability to expand its current city limits except through very minimal annexation situations compared to what it could do prior to the Urban Environmental Act. Rutherford County is not like a lot of counties in Tennessee. It has chosen not to amend the urban boundaries growth established, and this has been over 20 years ago. So if that continues, higher density in this city is got to be, if we continue to go, a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and I think that's I think the difference is, and this is where where I think things have changed since you've been here or been in the city, is that the amount of services that we're now having to give to those individual complexes. Now, you got to take MTSU and put that out of sight. You know, I don't think you've got students who are living out in the Blackman area. I don't think you have students who are living out 231 South. I mean, you know, I think most students now are staying around that area. But the issue is the amount of density in those individual complexes. And look, I mean, I was on Planning Commission when some of these are approved. What we've seen, I think that's the difference. We're one of the reasons where we are here right now, the infrastructure and the density and the services that have to be provided don't equate to what's being charged. I mean, there's no way to get around that. And that, you know, if you've got a 200 lot subdivision, it's a lot different than if you've got 400 people in such a dense environment. Now, we can agree to disagree on whether we think that we have too many apartments, but I do think that one of the things that we have to get back to, and one of the reasons that we're here right now, I had a gentleman I met with who's a consultant who deals a lot in Brentwood and Franklin, and he said one of the reasons that you're seeing that, you know, Franklin's increasing their tax rate 5% this year, but they've got 14 million square feet of office space and multi-tenant space, and the amount of homes that are $500,000 and less, the amount of taxes that are being paid don't subsidize the amount of services that are being paid. And I'm not being elitist about that. I'm just saying we've got to do a better job on bringing in jobs and bringing in these type of things into Rutherford County. And that's really where I think if you look at our tax base, that's some of the things that we've, you know, we've got to do better on.
We have a listener who texted us a comment here. They said they've done some studies and they wondered if even with a 40% assessment that the apartment still would not cover the increased cost in infrastructure and the services that come to them.
I think that's what the mayor's trying to say, but I would disagree with that. That apartment development is going to pay for 100% of its infrastructure put in place in order to accommodate those tenants that would live there.
But I think what we have to look at is the long-term effect that ends up coming with those. I mean, I think everyone would agree that, I mean, Roger, back when I, you know, of course, it's pointed out I'm not from here, which I speak routinely to lots of people around the community, and there are less than 10% of the people I speak to. I spoke to that assisted living community two Fridays ago, and out of 55 people who were there, there was one person that was originally from Rutherford County. So I don't think that's a prerequisite on serving or being employed by the city of Murfreesboro, on whether you're from here or not. But the issue that we have, I mean, when I used to drive down to Hickory Hollow and I used to drive down to the Antioch area with all the apartments that are there, heck, back in the 80s, that was a place to go. The thing we're worried about and the thing that we have to look about on infrastructure and services are the things that are 20 to 25 years old, which, you know, a lot of that put in our lap from the last 2 or 3 years and intimately dealing with what's been happening at MTSU. I can tell you the infrastructure and the things that we have to put forward don't pay for themselves. Now, we've got to be able to get that in through creating new jobs. We've got to get that through creating many different things. But I think the other thing, Bart, that you really want to look at, and this really goes back to people who worked before me in the council's had to deal with some tough decisions that, you know, I would argue that other councils hadn't had to deal with. I think the people that I serve with are, you know, trying to figure out how to handle the amount of growth that has come into this community. I mean, that's extremely tough. I've worked for three different city managers, or I'll say I've worked with three different city managers, and each city manager has had their strengths and their weaknesses. But, you know, I think some of the things that you see as a community, long before I ever came here, this community has put an emphasis on quality of life. I think you'd agree with that. I mean, parks, a safe community, police, fire, building the schools, a lot of the things that you have on the list that are here. But, you know, some of the things that we're working through is making sure that we can continue to do that. There's been a lot of there was something that was reported that the soccer facility that we're going to build, I think Roger had said it was $25 million is what was said on the Truman Show. It's less than half of that. Now, if you take what the soccer facility was built back when you were city manager 15 years ago, then but that whole facility probably would be $28 million.
Well, let's talk about that soccer facility a moment.
I'd love to.
I know you would. That soccer facility is not being built for the residents of Murfreesboro. It's being built primarily
No. Roger,
the city of Murfreesboro has soccer facilities to accommodate the soccer needs for the residents of Murfreesboro.
Absolutely. So, Roger, how many months is that soccer facility open right now?
I would estimate 5 months.
You are exactly right. How much do we spend on maintenance on that soccer facility every year?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does.
Just a minute.
Answer my question, Roger. How much money do we spend maintaining that soccer facility every year?
You tell me.
No, I'm asking you the question. You're the expert. How much are we spending?
Shane, I've been retired 10 years. I have no idea.
Right on. We're spending $700,000 a year just in maintenance for 5 months.
Well, my goodness gracious. What are you going to spend on maintenance for the addition of that new...
Guess what, Roger? We're going to be able to use the fields 12 months a year now for all of our residents.
All fields. Well, why aren't you using it today?
Because we can't. Because we have to shut them down because of overuse. Because they're
you're
so busy.
You're going to tell me that you're going to make money building that
Roger,
addition.
Guess how much our maintenance costs go down? $500,000. Our maintenance goes from $700 to $200. The residents get to use those fields instead of 5 months a year. They get to use them 12 months a year. So now all the residents and the kids in our soccer associations that don't get to use those fields now, the agreement that's in place, because it's not a lease, Roger. What you've been saying is it's a lease. It's not a lease. The way the deal is structured with the soccer association, even if you conservatively said that we don't make a penny on there, through the life of the lease, we'll save about $10 million.
Well, I congratulate you, and I say that if that pans out, y'all made the right decision.
So the question I want to ask is, I want to ask this because I really want to get the information. What's different with what we're doing with this soccer facility than when y'all built the one for $14 million 15 years ago?
What's different about it?
Yes, sir. I mean, did y'all get pushback for spending that much money on the soccer facility 15 years ago?
Very little. Just like we did. Every current recreational park that this city has today has been built since 1978. Not that I had anything to do or everything to do with it, but I did have a little. McKnight Park, SportsCom, Starplex, Old Fort Park, Old Fort Golf, Barfield Park, Patterson Community Center, Seagulls Soccer. All of those facilities were built, Shane, at a time in that 31-year period where we had 5 tax increases in 31 years. You mentioned the last one, and I take your word for it because I don't have the figures to
find
me. But the others were from between 2% and 3% of the then current property tax rate. What the city is talking about today is a property tax increase of 43%.
37 to 39. Now you're including the trash fee in there, correct?
No. Yeah. Y'all are proposing a 39.9 cent property tax increase.
Correct. It's all going to be based on what you're...
Wait a minute. You know, sometimes it depends on who's putting the figures down. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. And I'm sorry to say that, but the current property tax rate is 94.94 cents. Is that correct?
9494. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, 9.9494.
What is proposed is a 39.9 cent pennies increase. Is that correct?
That's what's proposed. I'm not saying that's what'll be voted on.
Is that proposed?
From staff, that's correct.
Okay. Do your math. That's a 43% tax increase.
But, Roger, would you agree that if
I... Wait a minute. I came on the show. We've only got a few minutes left, but... Mayor, I'm concerned about those folks in this community that are and will continue to remain silent because they feel like they're not going to be heard. And that's those that are living on a fixed income, those that are hurting every day. Government, and I'm going to give you an alternative for you to consider for your proposed increase in revenue. Y'all call it an revenue enhancement. It's a tax increase being proposed. If you add the cost of trash pickup that was started January 1 of this year at $5 per residence, plus the current proposed $5 increase, plus the current 43% proposed increase in property tax revenue, that person living in a $100,000 valued home, and there's a lot of people in this community that are living in homes at that valued at that amount. Maybe it's $125,000, $150,000, but we would all agree that there's a lot of people living in residence that are in that range. Those people are living on a fixed income. They're retired. They may be living on Social Security. Some of them may be fortunate enough to have a pension. When you couple the two together, the property tax increase and the proposed increase to $10 on trash pickup, that individual is going to be paying 93% more in Murfreesboro cost this year, starting with this year's property assessment. 93%. Well, that's not a whole lot. That doesn't mean much. But that's $18.31 per household. Well,
Roger,
it's easy to look at it that way, but the issue may not sound like a lot.
Oh, it's a lot to anyone.
Well, thank you for saying that, because those people that, Bart, that call into your Shop and Swap show, that call in every day to hear, a lot of those people are hurting. They don't need more government taking more out of their what they do have. Now, I said a moment ago, I'm going to make a recommendation for you to increase your revenue without negatively impacting those that are in need in this community. And for years, I didn't think we needed it in Murfreesboro, but I'm going to say it now. We do. We need to look at it strongly, and we need to implement it as fast as possible. That's called impact fees.
And Roger, we're doing that.
Well, you're keeping it quiet.
You haven't been watching the shows or our city council meetings. We've talked about that for 6 or 7 months, but at the same time.
I'm going to comment on that. I had to attend them for 31 years. I very seldom do watch them now. Yeah. But
we have about 5 minutes left.
I think if you go and you study any impact fee, the county would say this, because we're paying, you know, anybody who builds a house in Rutherford County right now are paying $1,500. The issue right now that we're going to, any community that looks at sustaining its budget off of an impact fee, that impact fee is very cyclical. So that's one of the things that we have to be able to go through. I think the things that, you know, Bart, that I really want to point out, and I guess I get to do this because I've been involved with this for so long, it's easy to armchair quarterback. I mean, I could armchair quarterback running a sewer line out to Buchanan Road 2001 that we've nowhere near recouped where
I
that
think
was.
You need to double check your figures.
I have.
You wouldn't have Joe B. Jackson, all of the development on Joe B. Jackson, if you did not have that sewer line in place.
Roger, we put that sewer line in for $5 million in 2001, and we've only recouped back $1.2 million off of it. Those are the facts. So the other thing that we have to look at, what I'm saying is, it's easy to armchair quarterback. Roger, do you know how much pass-through revenue we have in our budget this year?
No.
$26 million. So out of our budget that we have that we're proposing for $180 million, $26 million of that budget comes from pass-through revenue through state and federal government. Last year it was $20 million. The year before it was $19 million. So when you're just looking at numbers to say, hey, your overall budget has increased X number of dollars, you have to be able to take in all the things that are out there that you just don't see, like our state our street state fund.
State street aid.
Yeah. That budget has increased 40%, but it was because of the gas tax that was passed.
Well, sure.
So
sure.
A lot of those things that we have coming in, I think the thing to get out, we live in a really good community, and I think decisions that were made in the past, decisions that were made now, are always going to be second-guessed. But I think the one thing that I feel confident about, and again, I've served under three different city managers, I feel confident that the intellectual horsepower that we have in the city right now, whether it be with Mr. Tindall or the department heads, I mean, we fundamentally have restructured the way this government has been run. You know, we had an urban environmental department that we had put on. I think it started back many years ago. That turned into a $1.7 million landscaping company and kept going up. We've been able to consolidate that into our street department, our parks and recreation department, and saved almost $400,000.
Well, then why are you wanting to go up so much on property? You keep talking about what you've saved and all of and you're right. I don't recognize City Hall anymore from the time sure. I was there. There's two things constant in life. Change is second. The first is the continued love of our good Lord and Savior for each of us. But I would have to ask you, the changes you've made, I would have hoped you had made them for sound economic reasons.
Absolutely.
Which increases money coming back to the community.
And that's going to be the issue, Roger. As long as we continue to deal with the growth that we're dealing with in the community, you know, 121% population increase over the last 15, 20 years, we're going to be dealing with these issues. We're going to be dealing with parks issues. We're going to be dealing, I mean, right now, the number one complaint we have in this community, what would you say the number one issue in the community is?
The proposed property tax increase.
I'm saying overall, what do you think is the number one issue, Roger, on infrastructure? Transportation.
Well, roads always have been.
Yeah. So right now, 68% of the money that we're looking to spend is all based on building roads. And we've got to find ways to be able to get those things done. And Bart, I think with the community we've got, we'll be able to get there. I think what we've got coming up, we'll be able to find discussions that'll be able to take place. But I think we'll do it by being conscientious. We'll do it by using facts and not conjecture. So that's where we'll head.
11:30 this morning at City Council Chambers and 7:00 tomorrow night.
You got it.
Very good. And the public, will they have any opportunity?
Yeah, we want the public to be there. We want to be able to discuss with the public. So, you know, I'm continually getting emails. We've got all these things that are coming across. So I will tell you, Mayor Ketron has been really good to work with, and I think we're going to find ways to partner with the county, whether it be trash, schools, different things that we've got that we'll be able to move forward on. Thank you.
On the WGNSradio.com News Center, a local news update with Ron Jordan.
Firefighters across Rutherford County will be knocking on doors this Saturday and installing